You're listening to The Kylo Show, the podcast where we talk about how to keep your love on no matter what and why whole healthy families are going to save the world. And it starts right now.
Hello and welcome to The Kylo Show. We are on here to talk about women.
Let's do it.
And we've Woo-hoo. Kicked all the men out.
Get out.
It's only fair. They did it to me last series. Yeah. I was actually felt like a little vacation. So mm-hmm. now the ladies are back and it's just us. And I think you and I had an episode together though, mm-hmm. not very long ago.
Yeah.
We were talking about being wives.
Yeah.
Is that what it was?
I think so.
So many things.
You know, being married to a preacher for so many years, it's always nice to be able to get the microphone every once in a while.
Yeah.
Deciding, you know.
What to share?
Yes, because he would share and I'd be sitting there thinking, well, that's not the whole story.
there's another context you're missing.
If I could just get that microphone after you're done and share a few things. But here we are. They're out of the room. We could do whatever we want. In fact, we were a little out of control a few minutes ago, which wasn't filmed.
You'll never know mm-hmm. unless we decide to tell you. But we are, you know, we're talking about our design and purpose as a woman. And,
yes.
Which is, you know, I love talking about. I love being a woman. I don't mm-hmm. want to be anything other than a woman.
You don't?
That's I'm happy. Good. I'm happy being a woman.
Yeah. There is a lot of confusion out there.
But there does seem to be a lot of confusion.
There is.
And you mm-hmm. know, the most popular documentary that came out in the last year is titled What is a Woman?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you saw it or not, but it was pretty fascinating to watch him ask this question to a variety of different people and how difficult it was to
define. Yeah.
Because society says that it's no longer a female adult.
Right. What is woman? Adult female. Yeah. And there's a lot of pain out there
mm-hmm.
and a lot of people trying to figure out their identity and confusion. And it's gotten all the way into down to children. It's pretty wild out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's a design.
Mm-hmm. Which we kind of, I mean, we talked a little bit in our women series, you know, God's design for why he created Eve, in mm-hmm. case you missed that episode. I mean, she's was created to be a helper, mm-hmm. to be someone that's
partner.
A partner. This and God created them both and his image, mm-hmm. man and woman. And, you know, first God was hoping that the you know, animals would work out,
mm-hmm.
but they don't talk as much as us. So yeah. It was like, you know what? Adam needs to process through some things. That's what it is.
Be fruitful and multiply. Uh-huh. What was going to happen there?
No, I guess that's where half animal deer looking things.
Stop.
No,
okay.
But, you know, this is, we need women, and we need mm-hmm. women to understand the value, the worth, their purpose, mm-hmm. and bring clarity to it without confusing it in modern society and what they're throwing at them. And even our, you know, looking at having two little young women developing mm-hmm. in my home, I want them to know God's design for them. I want them to know and have value for what they bring that's so different
yeah.
than a man. I want them to see their strength, their beauty, mm-hmm. the softness of them, their mm-hmm. fierceness. I mean, I want them to know all these things, but I want them to know it from the source, their creator,
mm-hmm.
not this distorted version that's taken over. And it does rule a lot of the media and all of this. It's really loud more than ever.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's just kind of what we're going to be talking about a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I've talked to a lot of women's groups over the years, and, you know, a woman's body is designed to give nurture. You have breasts that produce milk for...
We're like a Swiss Army knife. Yeah. We have so many purposes.
Yes. You have hips, so you can put two babies on them. The other one's old enough to run around, I guess. There's actual design that is beautiful, and it's all shapes and sizes, which is also beautiful, and just really loving who God created us to be. And, you know, I was raised with a really powerful woman. So I always knew you could do whatever. The only time I ever felt limited was inside the walls of the church. And I don't even think it was...
as extreme as some.
Well, it wasn't extreme and it wasn't purposeful. It wasn't like... It was sort of just a non-topic, and so it wasn't like someone was keeping us out or something. It was just tradition. Mm-hmm. There's the design of a woman in partnership with men were very different, and what I would bring to the family or to the relationship is very different than what Danny... husbands bring. And
yeah, I mean, to talk about obviously all the body parts that we have that they don't have, that you can't manufacture, to make do those things, because God said this is your gift to the world, is your ability to produce offspring. Like, I mean, well, obviously we can't do it without the men either, so right. It takes two to tango, but this beautiful expression, and I love, you know, any woman that's been pregnant, the relationship that you develop even within your child before they're ever in this world, they're in your womb still.
Breathing air.
It's just a wild experience to have, and then what your body naturally knows what to do to give birth, because God designed every little thing. I mean, down to when it's a little cell and these two things combined and then life happens. And then you have this child and then your body goes into, now I'm going to help you take care of this beautiful creature that was designed in heaven. And there's just this beauty and wonder in how God created a woman to be able to do this and our body just kind of takes over.
Yeah.
And then the softness, you know, you and I are both intense and fierce, and that's no secret to any of our listeners at all. And not everyone's wired like us, that's for sure. But we have value for our femininity as well. We have value for being soft. I don't know how many times I can remember, you know, the boys, when they would get hurt, they weren't crying for dad to come. You know, they're crying for mom. There's this tender gentleness that we provide.
Yeah.
That is in, you know, even in our hormones, you know, estrogen, what it produces in us and what it brings to our home, to our family. Lincoln just got his first pair of stitches here, you know. Ben was like, yeah, son, you did it. He did. He got five stitches because he was being a boy trying to do a Taekwondo kick in the bathroom gone wrong and split his head open.
On the counter.
Ben sees it as a battle wound and, you know, we're at the ER for 5 hours for this. And I'm like, do you want dad to go in there with you or me? And he goes, I want you. And I'm like, this just puts on display again. What does mom bring that's different than dad?
And I think nurturing and just tenderness, and I think navigating, you know, I always say women are great negotiators, and there's been countries that had civil war, and a lot of the men went to war and were killed. And so women end up in charge, and they are less likely to go to war because they have a negotiation skill, like get the parties together, and they know the horrors of it, and so they're not... I think that they bring that softness. I used to always say I'm the soft side of the silks. I have six brothers and lots of you know, lots of tree climbing and shooting things in my early years. But I've always been a girly girl on top of that. I just really love that part about being a woman is being strong and being feminine. And I think you celebrate both those things. And being strong doesn't have to be aggressive or loud. Yeah. It's just you are capable of caring. You're not, you know, you're not less than because you're a female. So we're celebrating that today for sure.
The beauty of not every woman needs to become a warrior, but she could.
Yeah.
Not every woman has to stay home and raise kids, but she could.
She can, yeah.
Not every woman has to go out and be a CEO of a company, but she could. Mm-hmm. We are all about the celebration of what women bring that are so unique. And I'm excited about the different people that we're going to be bringing on to talk through.
Yeah, we have some friends going to join us.
All different. And it's just a, yeah, it'll be fun conversations to, they're people you probably don't know, but you will get to know them. Some of them you might. But just trying to explore the strengths that that we bring. And, you know, you grew up with your brothers, so and I had brothers. When I came out, and it was the first girl in a long lineup, because, you know, what were you thinking having a daughter?
Yeah, we did not know. Taylor, our youngest, was the only one we knew his gender before he was born. But I was, first I was shocked because my whole family is light eyes and light hair. And I knew it was a possibility, of course, but I was shocked. You look like Pocahontas or something. What happened? And
my dad, I think.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. But I always tell people, Brittany kind of came out telling me what's up, but that was later when you were a little bit
when
older.
I could talk.
But yeah, I was just super excited and just I mean, I had a good relationship with my mom and I was looking forward to that being part of who we became and just that, I think it's precious. I mean, there's people that just only have boys, but I think it's precious to have a daughter. And neither one of us have sisters.
It's true. So, we find our sisters in our friendships.
Yes, we do. But it's been fun to watch you have two girls and what I'm like, oh, this is what sisters do. You know, they borrow clothes and get into each other's makeup and pal around together. And so that's been fun. But,
yeah. I mean, having an adult child and a teenager daughter, it's been really fun to see the invitation to have friendship, especially with our oldest who's out of the house now.
And her younger sister.
And her younger sister. I mean, Addie's, I'm still very much leading Adeline in, you know, the throes of being a teenager in the house. But, you know, there's just so much excitement of, I believe in them. I'm excited for them. I think they watch you and I be moms, you and I be confident and secure in our worth and value and what we have to offer the world and how it's so different than Dad and Ben. And I love their confidence and security and knowing who they are and being able to just continue to propel that as we just live as women that are firmly rooted in Him.
Yeah,
you know, because I think right now the phrase a feminist, you know, is not a necessarily a new term, but it's become really loud in some in a worldly context, which has taken this this desire from what I understand is, you know, back when women were fighting to vote for equal rights.
Yeah. It took them decades. Yeah. I mean, I was just like looking at that before we started today. It's like, I think there was only a couple of women still alive that were children in the room when they first started that quest just for women to be able to, women didn't vote till 1920.
It's crazy.
And so, yeah, and I think the feminism thing is a pendulum that swings around. You know, we go from women are only designed to do this, you know, stay home, make babies, be a secretary.
Children's take ministry care worker.
Children. I'm talking in the church right now. But to we don't need men. You know, we've reduced what women can do. And then they rise up and say, no, we can do more. And now we've swung all the way over to we don't actually need men either, which isn't true. That the design of heaven is in the middle there. Both are equal. Mm-hmm. And so I think that swing has happened maybe multiple times. You know, sure. I know a lot of in the early days when they were trying to pressure the vote, some of it was they wanted to be able to vote because it was prohibition mm-hmm. and all. They were trying to help their men stop being alcoholics. And so they wanted to
wanted to help protect their families. Yeah. They wanted to restore things. So mm-hmm. I think
they wanted more control.
In the
they were property.
Yeah.
So
yeah. I think the first expression of this, it sounds it's more rooted in this this place of desire for equality and partnership and family. Mm-hmm. And then it becomes this distorted thing to where we still say the same thing. We want equality. We want this, but we also want special treatment, mm-hmm. which equal doesn't mean special treatment.
Yeah.
And so that's the part that gets me really confused is that now it's, I want all these special exceptions.
Right.
And I've moved away from the original purpose of restoration, family, equality mm-hmm. to rule over, to minimize, to extinguish. And I just don't know that's not a good road to take. And it's just yeah. making things really messy out there.
For sure. And you know, women even protecting other women has gotten strange too, where there's a lot of talk around males participating in women's yeah. sports, which is, you know, women, it seems like women would be upset about that. Mm-hmm. And women athletes should, you know, there are some, of course. Mm-hmm. And I know it's all in the confusion time that we're in, but at the same time, there is something for women to do to stand up for each other. My mom, they used to call my mom a women's libber way back in the day. Mom, she's a feminist. Your grandma was born in the later 1920s somewhere. So
right there, fresh. You
know, right there.
Yeah.
And she never was, she was very traditional in a lot of ways, you know, but she always worked. Mm-hmm. And all she really wanted was equal pay for equal jobs. She yep. she wasn't pushing for anything special. I don't want any special arrangements for me. I'm working my buns off here, mm-hmm. and so is this person that's, you know, a male in the office, and I, you know, so she was always pushing for that. But that got out of control too. So then, you know, that special thing happens where we need more women on the team, so we just hire women just because they're female. So that yeah. who wants that job? I don't want that job. I don't want to be hired because of my gender.
You need to fit the quota.
Yeah. So everything, just this pendulum swings back and forth, and it confuses everything. And so I think coming back to the original design and really knowing what that means is important.
Yeah, and it dilutes the beauty and value of what a woman is when we can't actually remember what we're great at, mm-hmm. what we're designed for. And even in the garden, God's like, here's your partner, here's your helper, which is, you know, yeah. He created them. So today's feminists feel very selfishly driven. Where I think when they first were fighting for the right to vote, it felt like it was, it really was the equality. Mm-hmm. It really was the help us restore our families because they're out of control. We need some help yeah. up in here. And now they don't have that same battle, but they act as if they do. And it's just a bummer because it's, you know, I had a conversation with two young ladies and one of them, they're both Christian. And she's like, I'm a feminist. And I'm like, what does that mean? And she's describing, well, I'm for women's rights and equal pay. And then how she starts talking, I said, well, you sound like in order to accomplish that, we have to reduce what a man is. Mm-hmm. And she goes, well, maybe. I said, well, maybe. I said, what does the Bible say about that? When we reduce one so another can be greater? Yeah. I said, I would check on your quest of supporting women, because mm-hmm. I'm all about that. I mean, yeah. I love watching my friends excel. I love watching Becky Johnson just crush it out there.
Yeah.
That girl is a powerhouse. I love watching Rochelle go into the craziest spaces that I will never go, yeah. that she is tiny but mighty, man. I love that those things are mm-hmm. happening. So I want to encourage those ladies to flourish. And then what they're bringing to that environment, I mean, especially Rochelle, what she brings to the inner city or to those gang members is she brings a mother's heart, which those yeah. little boys are longing for. Mm-hmm. Because they missed it, and yeah. she gets to restore it. But it's not something that a man can do. It needs to be a mother.
Yeah, and no one has to take a back seat. I think that was one of the things when your dad started teaching about empowering women and wrote the book Powerful mm-hmm. and Free.
If you haven't read it, you should.
Yeah, and that I remember when he first started teaching that message, there was a lot of men confused as to why women are empowered around here. What do you mean?
Yeah.
And then you start pointing out, well, actually, the only place they're empowered is here. But I was always like, hey, women, if you want the pulpit, if you want to ever preach, then you should be, you know, growing yourself. Mm-hmm. You can't just expect to get the pulpit because you're a woman. But at the same time, when your dad first started preaching that, a lot of the conversations with men were out of fear, kind of like, well, what do you, if you women end up in charge, what are you going to do to us? I'm like, nothing. We're both, there's room for all, mm-hmm. you know, everyone yeah. to be, have their place. Nobody has to sit down for somebody else to stand up, you know? Yeah. So, but there's that fear, mm-hmm. you know, that even when back in the 1920s, when they got the vote, I'm sure there was fear. Sure. What are they now going to
vote are they
for?
Gonna do?
You know, yeah. And that's, I guess, it's real, and you can legitimately talk through that. But I don't think that's going to be the problem.
No, and I, as a woman, I want to come alongside Ben and add my strength in a way that I know he's incapable of, mm-hmm. because I am a woman. Yeah. I want to be a source of comfort and encouragement to my children that I know Ben can't do. Mm-hmm. I know that Dad can't do. Because I'm a woman. That's what we bring.
This reminds me of when you were young and you worked with a single dad mm-hmm. who's he had two little girls and their mom was incarcerated. Mm-hmm. And so their mom was not available. And even if she was unsafe. She was an unsafe person.
Yeah.
And you went in there as a young.
I was 16.
You were 16. And just even then brought this mom's heart to their environment where you're doing some traditional things in the home, like cooking and helping that way, sorting socks or whatever. Yeah. But you just brought this nurturing to this family that was absent, and you had it all inside you. No one had to train you necessarily. You just showed up and yeah. changed their lives.
It was a crazy scene. I did that for 2 years. They ended up being the flower girls in our wedding. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he had owned a company, so he had other ladies that like worked in the office that, you know, they would always mm-hmm. give treats to the girls and stuff like that. But I do remember, their dad would try and do their hair and I'd be like, can I help? You know?
Yeah.
And just these moments where little things would happen that I understood because, you know, my body's the same as them. And I understood, you know, why they were so emotional about something that didn't really make sense to him. And it was, I'm so grateful that I got to give that season, and I pray that it was impactful for them. And obviously I want their mother fully restored, and they were working that out when I last saw them. So, sure. But it was obvious when I came in, because it looked like a bachelor pad inside that house with two little girls.
Yep.
You know?
With the Barbie on the floor or something.
It wasn't even that. It was like Tonka trucks, because I don't think he knew what to do. And so I remember he got him clothes, and he got him a plain t-shirt and plain shorts, because and he bought him all the same outfits, because he said, if I lose one, I just want to be able to point to this one and say, it looks just like this.
Yeah.
And one was really, really girly, and she loved the rainbows. She loved the unicorn. She loved the glitter. And the other one was super tomboy. So one of them was miserable, and the other one loved the basic everything. And I remember being able to go in and help their uniqueness kind of come out without being intimidated by it or afraid of it. And, you know, he would tell me, Shannon loved that you did that. She's in love with that purse you picked out. Like, I would have never thought that that's what would make her so happy. And I bought her all these other things, but that's what she loves. And I'm like, it's just this gift. And I understand and have value for. And
The design.
And to see it come out. And I did. It was a unique season that I got to be a part of. But we're going to talk about a bunch of things. We're going to jump into some questions now. But we're gonna do our classic Kylo 5. You just got to stick around for it. Yeah. We're gonna dive into that too and have some fun with it. And we're gonna bring some really great guests on and probably laugh a lot.
Yes.
So
there might be some inappropriateness happening.
You know. It's gonna be a good time. We're gonna laugh. We're gonna bring in these women that we trust and love and or are doing great things.
Yeah. And they're all family. Mm-hmm. They all have families.
And so it'll be some fun conversations as we.
And they have very powerful partners.
They're movers and shakers. Yep. And they're all different. And you'll get to know them. So it should be fun. But we'll jump into questions. So we'll be back in just a minute. And we'll see you soon.
I want to give a quick shout out to today's sponsor, Maisie. Maisie is a website builder whose mission is to saturate the internet with the presence of God. After hearing that, we knew we had to make the switch from our old website platform, and we absolutely love our new site. Maisie is hosting a free masterclass on October 26th called 3 Simple Steps to Creating Online Revenue. It's everything you need to transform your passions into profit online. Interested? Click the link in our show notes or visit lovingonpurpose.com/masterclass. That's lovingonpurpose.com/masterclass.
All right. Well, we're back and going to answer some of your questions. If you do have questions, you can always direct message me. You could message my mom, especially with this series, if you'd like. Or you can send it to my dad. He'll pass it on. He's pretty good about that. Yep. Any of those will work.
Through socials.
Yep. Instagram, that's the best way to reach us for questions. All right. So the first question that we have, it says, what should we teach women about modesty and being aware that men are visual? How do we do this? Because I mean, crop tops are back, and it's hard to not find a crop top in the grocery store. Hopefully not in the grocery store.
You never know. In any store.
In any store. They're making their t-shirts into crop tops. But it is, it's been interesting because it's gone. It's a struggle to not find something that's showing your midriff. But I feel like that's always kind of been there, that opportunity to.
Back in my school ministry days.
Yes.
We called it the 4 B's when I changed it to the 5 B's. But the 4 B's were, I don't want to see your boobs, your butts, your
Bellies?
Bellies and your boxers, because guys used to wear their pants really low back then. And then I also said bra straps. Your underwear is not part of your outfit. That was kind of my saying. I think things have changed even since then. That was a lot of years ago. But your dad would describe it as being pleasantly inviting. Hmm. You know, women, I mean, we're probably going to get emails about this topic, but it's not just the men, the visual for the men. It's also a weird experience as a woman having another woman dressing crazy sexy in the office, in an office environment. It doesn't just affect the men. It affects the women, too. And do I, in the workplace, have to protect myself from you? As you know, what is the goal of your sexiness? You know, mm-hmm. keep sexy at home. I always say, you know, sexy doesn't have to be in the office.
Sure.
And then I think giving feedback about what makes someone uncomfortable and what doesn't, and mm-hmm. find some compromise there. I think even. You know, I had a friend that would say, you know, I would take my daughter's swimsuit shopping, and we just can't find any swimsuits that don't show their whole backside. I'm like, I've been to lots of shops, and you can find a suit. That's not where your daughter's going to take you shopping, probably, because she wants that suit. But I don't even care about what kind of suit you get. I just mean, if you are really comfortable being super sexy, then you might ask people around you, how are you experiencing me?
Yeah.
And let them tell you the truth and then make an adjustment, because I think it's important, because I think you'll attract something different than maybe what you want. Mm-hmm. You don't realize what you're attracting when you are revealing yourself, and so be careful what you put on display.
Sure. Yeah. And the conversations I've had with my girls in this, I ask questions. So when they've asked to, you know, wear the super short crop tops or booty shorts, which, I mean, hasn't really happened, but there's some dresses, they're like, what about this? And I go,
Yeah.
And I usually go, what do you want to communicate? Mm-hmm. What are you looking to invite? And then I usually ask them, when you see girls wearing shorts where their butt cheeks are hanging out and just shy of the whole boob showing up, what are you thinking? Mm-hmm. Because you're having some thoughts of, oh, someone's looking for something. Mm-hmm. That's a very blanket statement that mm-hmm. everyone's looking for something that dresses like that. I would say a good average is they are. They're looking for love. They're looking for belonging. Again, I'm
you're generalizing.
I'm generalizing it.
It's true, though, that they, you know, I think it's, you have the right to do it. Mm-hmm. You have the right to do whatever you want. You have the right to talk a certain way. You have a right to dress a certain way. Yes, absolutely. We're not trying to give you a list of rules. It's more like you might just ask how you are. Everyone's experiencing you. You know, that same thing. Again, just get some feedback. Because if people are uncomfortable and you give them the opportunity to give you feedback, they might just... Yeah. And so, yeah, you have the right to do it. You have the right to do all kinds of things that aren't good for you.
And I go back to asking when they wanted to wear this dress, and I go, it's a little bit sexy.
Yeah.
I go, how does it make you feel? And we talk through that, and what are you looking for? You know, especially if there's a boy around, mm-hmm. what are you wanting him to experience from you? If you're not married and you plan on finishing the task of you looking sexy, I just don't know what you're playing with, because the other part is, because guys are so visual, I want to protect you, especially if we're not married. If we're working on that, I want to protect you and help you protect me.
Protect what you say is valuable to you.
Absolutely.
If you have a value of getting to marriage, you know.
Without having sex.
Without having sex. You know, even if, whatever, there's, that's another whole topic, but there's a lot of people that's not their goal, mm-hmm. but still, or they mess that up already is my point. Sure. But let's get back on track. What mm-hmm. what is it that you want? I value sexy. I like feeling sexy. I need to get sexy back. This has been a season in my life with a lot of craziness. Sure. Which is another question on here is body, you know, positivity and mm-hmm. all of that. But I'm not trying to get my sexy back for anyone else but me and my husband. That's
totally,
you know, and just feeling like I'm my best self, mm-hmm. You know, with him. And so that's what sexy's for, is you between yeah. you and your husband. That's totally. What it's for.
What did one of the boys said? I look sexy for my honey or something, or yeah. sex. What did they say? I don't remember who it was. I want to look good for my honey or something. I want a honey or yeah. something. I don't know. One of the boys said something about, a date. That's what it was, I think.
Dad All shared. I got was a date, and Taylor said I get to dance with my honey.
Yeah.
Because it was a, yeah, whatever.
It was cute, though.
It was cute. It's innocence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Again, modesty, I'm usually going after the heart. That's what I'm going yeah. after, asking questions there. And what's your goal in dressing like that? What yeah. are you trying to accomplish? What are you struggling with? And if it's to feel confident or sexy, and why don't you feel confident and sexy? What is it that yeah. you're needing, especially if you're not married? Mm-hmm. And then feedback. I love that perspective. That's really great.
Yeah, and get feedback from the females.
Mm-hmm. Yes, not just
It might
the
be
males.
An awkward conversation between you and a male, but I guess if you trust that person and they trust you, you could have that conversation.
Yeah.
Always bring a friend with you. It's weird.
Yeah. All right. The other question, you kind of touched on it for a second. It says, what do you think about body positivity movement? Is it good or is it bad?
Is this body image stuff?
I think, you know, like right now, body positive is, I think I just saw.
Like Shape magazine cover.
And that you're.
Yeah, I think all bodies are beautiful, if that's what you're asking me. I do think that just because we accept all body image shapes doesn't mean that you're healthy. Mm-hmm. So I think health is important. And we know some facts about, you know, body types and things that aren't healthy. So, I mean, you could be really, it's not about just being heavy or thin, because thin people mm-hmm. cannot be healthy as well because they eat poorly or they whatever, mm-hmm. you know. So, yes, we want you to feel good in your own skin, I would say, and be positive and love yourself. Absolutely love yourself mm-hmm. no matter what shape you're in. But also be healthy. So they often don't talk about that part. Mm-hmm. But I think it's another pendulum.
Mm-hmm.
It's
that's
like it used to be every model was
a
this
size
little
zero.
You know, as big as my right thigh or something, you know, this little teeny person. And then even like flight attendants and all that. And so I love that that's not the case anymore. Mm-hmm. But do we want to swing all the way over here to, you know, unhealthiness? And I don't think that's a good option either.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I've got two girls at home who are built very differently.
They are.
And so.
You're right.
And they're never going to, they might, I don't know what clothes they'll be able to share mm-hmm. because.
Shoes.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe a top. It'll just be baggier on one than the other.
But one's very curvy.
One's super curvy.
And one's very, like, athletic.
Yeah. And so they both – it's interesting because they both have these extremes and struggles and frustrations in their body. And I told one of them – I said, what are you saying about yourself right now? Because she's really struggling with her body image. And she's like, I don't want to really say it out loud. I said, okay – Would the Lord say those things to you?
Hmm.
How are you treating your body the way that the Lord has created it? Because he didn't make a flaw when he gave you this body.
Yeah.
He made you on purpose and this body. So are you cursing this body by how you're talking about it?
Mm-hmm.
And that was a moment where she's like, huh, okay, so I'm taking all of these things that aren't like my friends, and I am stewing on them and belittling them and stripping them. But through that conversation, I it kind of just helped her re-engage with, oh, this is a body the Lord gave me, and he didn't give me those things for a reason. I don't know what that reason is yet.
I'm different for a reason.
But this is how it looks. And so embracing health. And so we talk a lot about how do you feel?
Mm-hmm.
What do you need to feel with your body? What should you be giving your body that you feel like it needs? And how can I help you do that?
Yeah.
And so that's always what I'm chasing at with both girls because they're so different.
Mm-hmm.
And they will always be different. And I love, it's fun. They're just embracing their different. And then now that they... I would say they're more confident about their differences that they kind of have joke around and play now. So it's
I think self-talk, women tend to have some pretty negative self-talk and about around because of, I think, some of the you know, skinny, you know, model days like that's a certain. I remember I used to show a Dove soap commercial years ago when I would talk to women how this very like normal looking, you know, gal, they take a picture of her and then they got on the computer and they made her hair different, her eyes different, and you know, they made her neck longer and they did all these things. They changed her into a completely different person. And does that make someone happy? Then of course, no, they're not. That doesn't make you happy. But we can get to extremes nowadays and trying to fix all our flaws. And I'm not even against people doing what they feel like they're supposed to be doing with, you know, plastic surgery and beyond. But love yourself and take that self-talk and maybe make it out loud instead of it being in your head of this routine and this mantra that I go over and over and over and over in my head and actually take it out loud and actually listen to yourself and think, would I say this to my friend? If my friend was talking about themselves like this, what would I be saying to my friend? And just, you know, change your mindset and, you know, nothing does well when it's cursed all the time. And
that'll preach.
And so if you're cursing yourself all the time, how are you going to thrive? How are you going to create value for yourself and for what you bring to the team? How could you possibly be confident if you're just bad-mouthing yourself all the time? You're cursing yourself constantly. So it helps to bring it out and look at it. And the way to do that would be maybe to journal your thoughts and read them. Like, wow, that's really not nice. Or just say them out loud. And I think there are habits that...
Sure.
And these loops we get into, and they could be adjusted pretty quickly if you would just be aware of how you're talking to yourself.
Yeah. Well, I think we should end on that note is, ladies, go and pay attention to the thoughts and what you say about yourself.
Yeah.
And create new habits and opportunities to create a beautiful whole woman and thrive as that person instead of minimizing or belittling,
trying to be someone you're not.
Yeah, and I think that we're again embracing the beauty and design that God has for a woman and wanting to cherish that and celebrate it. So
yeah, and practically, I mean, you know how I am. I'm super practical. So I'm thinking, if I want to change something, then I have to put it in front of me. So, you know, even if we were to teach someone about goals, you know, there's steps in between. You can think about having a fit body and forever, but never actually pick up a weight or start walking or anything, you know. So take some practical steps. If you have a self-talk of, you know, you're just stuck in this whatever, you know, fill in the blank, then write out some steps to change that thing that you keep running around in your head. You know?
Well, here's a challenge. We got four weeks.
Okay.
So in 4 weeks, can you recognize, redirect, and then encourage yourself? That'll be the, be a challenge. And if you do, let us know on social media. Because
what did you change?
We want to be part of the testimony and encourage you.
Absolutely.
So awesome. All right. Well, this is a great start, Mom. Thanks for jumping on here. And we're tackling the conversation of women. And we'll see you next time.
How beautiful they are.
On The Kyla Show.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. Never miss an episode of The Kyla Show by subscribing to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or watch us on the Loving on Purpose YouTube channel. Don't forget to submit your questions and testimonies to thekylashow.com. The Kyla Show is produced by Ali Armading, co-produced by Ashley Beck and Anna Hill, and show promoter Christian Zamora. Don't forget, whole healthy families are going to save the world.